Welcome to this Mandan edition of City Current, a program designed to provide information on the issues and actions of city government and how they affect its citizens. I'm Mary Van Sickle, Executive Director at Dakota Media Access, along with Jim Neubauer, City Administrator for the City of Mandan.
Morning, Mary. Glad to be here.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for coming in. And we are here at the studios of Dakota Media Access, and we are on the morning of Thursday, May 18th, just a few days after the Mandan City Commission meeting met last Tuesday night. So let's talk about the commission meeting and some of the action that that happened that night. It seemed like there were quite a few actions taken by the commission about development. And Ellen Huber, your development director, reporting.
Right. Thanks, Mary. A lot of great things happening in downtown Mandan and through our incentive programs, whether it's Renaissance Zone or storefront improvement. Just a lot of activity going on. And we're sometimes new development comes in bunches. And on Tuesday night, we had a lot of things in front of the commission.
Yeah.
So it all good.
Yeah, and the Tribune had an article about one of those projects today, Dickie's Barbecue, and that'll be out on the Strip?
Dickie's Barbecue has been in the works for quite a while now. They are in Memorial Square out on the Strip, owned by Randy Roan and Ben Zachmeyer, are the two operators of Dickie's.
Where does that Memorial
Square?
Yeah,
shopping?
Where does that land?
Where Classic Rock Coffee is.
Okay, gotcha.
Right now is one of the tenants right now.
Okay.
And they've got a couple other tenants, I think a hair salon and also a nail salon. And like Dickie's will be taking them. And the reason Dickie's is taking a little bit longer to get off the ground is they have upgraded, I think, from what they call a G3 store to a G4 store, which is the newest and latest and greatest in the Dickie's franchise.
Oh, great. Good location. Nice location. Yep. Real convenient there at the end of the Strip. And
looking forward to them getting open on, I think, the first part of
You'll
June.
You'll be testing?
Yes, absolutely.
And they came back to the commission Tuesday night for an expansion. They originally, as you said, certain size, they realized they wanted to be a little bit bigger. Meeting room space?
I think they're going to have a conference room area that will seat up to 60 people.
Nice.
And so you'll be able to have meetings and catering there. They also do catering. I think Randy Roan had set up to 5,000 people they can cater for.
Wow.
But the reason they came back to the city is they have expanded their building footprint. They've taken advantage of our sales tax incentive program on that, meaning that about a year and a half ago, the commission agreed to, as part of Mandan residents wanting additional places to eat. All of our surveys say, what can we do to get more restaurants in town? And this is one of them where the city has agreed to say, all right, of that 1% sales tax we collect and on food sales and things like that, we will rebate back to that business owner for a period up to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in these cases, we think that is a pretty strong incentive to bring. You know, people look and say, oh, it's only 1%. But in the big scheme of things, every little bit adds up.
Sure.
And in addition, they took advantage of some interest buy-down programs that we have because they have an expanded store. Then you get an expanded interest rate buy-down. So both of those items were in front of the commission.
And these originally start with the Mandan Growth Fund, is that right?
Mandan Growth Fund is one of our committees that the city commission appoints to deal with economic development. They're kind of help us out a little bit. And they've got very good ideas and they're very strong in what they do. And, you know, the sales tax rebate program for restaurants kind of developed through Ellen and also through this committee, and the committee gave it the green light. And the commission also extended that for 1 year from the March 2017 deadline. So we said, let's try it for a year and see what we get. We had Dickie's, we've got Taylor Made Barbecue downtown Mandan that are taking advantage of it. Let's try it for another year.
Yeah.
And so it's not an ongoing thing. It's just a matter of let's try it for another year and see what comes into town.
And it's not an ongoing thing because it is pretty unusual, because most incentives for a city, as I understand, don't apply to restaurants and retail or those types of operations. But correct me if I'm wrong, this was a reaction from some strategic planning from the city and some surveys that you did. Yeah. People, this is what they want.
Yeah, the folks in Mandan, you know, our latest community survey, and the number one thing that has come back is more retail and more restaurants. Mm-hmm. For the first time, ahead of lower property taxes, which, you know, we always say, gee, your property taxes are high, and I think people say that no matter where they live. But really, the our niches and the things that we are lacking in retail and restaurant, this is, gives us the commission a lot of a good position to be in to offer this incentive. And like I said, it's not forever. It's for a limited time, and then we evaluate that incentive and see how it's working. If we get to a point where we say, okay, the incentive is there, it's done, it's worked, the commission can cut it off.
Move on to the next big thing, right? You have a couple other projects that were approved that night too, and that's the Scapegoat Bar. That is going to be in the former Moscow Bar location, right in that area. Tree City Bar.
Now you're going way back. but yes, the applicants came in for a storefront improvement application. They're going to, one, I believe, gut the building, and two, they're going to potentially put an addition on the back of that building. Part of our storefront improvement program is to address areas of blight and things like that. As you indicated, this used to be the Tree City Bar, and that's the Moscow. And because it's maintaining that use as a bar, the Growth Fund and the City Commission have kind of struggled on going, should we be incentivizing a bar or not? But in this case, because it had been a bar for forever, and probably longer than that, we're looking at this would be an appropriate
There's
use
no
of
net
those
gain, net, not adding bars.
And so we look at this as a pretty nice improvement.
And it looks like they'll do a nice job, lighting, signage, planter out front, addition on the back, bathrooms, all the whole thing. So that's another. And then there's the Harris Law Office going in at 208 East Main. That'd be real nice too.
Right now that is, you'll see a sign on there now is RGR Maintenance, I believe, and Amanda Harris and their law firm bought the building, and so they'll be re-signing it, and there's some improvements that they need to make interior-wise also. So that's another
Has Harris Law Firm been operating in Mandan?
They're renting a smaller space on one of the side streets, and they're looking for more space and higher visibility. So that's another good project for us.
Another positive addition to Main Street. And the last one I had on my list that I saw the other day was 418 and 420 West Main, which is kind of that western area where Burger Insurance is in part of the building. Is that correct?
Burger Insurance is in part of the building, and most folks will recognize that as it's part of it has the big cactus on the awning up in front. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on where you sit, that cactus will be going away. They have, I think, sold the cactus. But that area is kind of needs some TLC for a while, the owners have come in and said, we're going to restore. There's some second floor apartment buildings in there, and they'll restore the front entrance to that. So that'll get a fresh look. And also the awnings over the top of the sidewalk will get a fresh look. And those are on, I think, 418 and 420 on West Main. And then we also have an applicant just filed their application for storefront improvement on the building right next door. Many people remember that as the Wickham Jewelry. So that whole front area will get a facelift.
Lots of action on Main Street.
Yep.
That's fantastic. And then Del Wetch, the MPO Executive Director, Men in Progress Organization Executive Director for many years, does a wonderful job, came to you for the the annual allocation of event funds.
Right. We always like to have Del come in because he's, he's the spearhead behind all of the events in downtown Mandan, along with the Mandan Progress Organization. And the City of Mandan contributes $20,000 on an annual basis to the MPO so that they can provide some funding and grant money to different events that are coming to town. They have an application process. They have a committee that rates those applications and scores them. And then Dell brings those recommendations back to the City Commission. So at times you'll get brand new events that might need a little help. And kind of the good thing about this, if you get a $1,000 grant, what happens is you get $500 in Mandan bucks, which need to be spent in Mandan, and $500 in cash.
That's a great way to do that.
Both it's supporting Mandan and promoting those events too.
That's awesome. I'm looking at the list of the events that were funded. You know, a lot of us were obviously very familiar with the parade and the 4th of July road race and some of those other ones, Art in the Park, huge event, rodeo. But some of the new ones that have been added in the last couple of years, which are awesome, Slide the City and Touch a Truck.
Right, Slide the City is a great event, and Touch a Truck is coming up this weekend on May 20th. So I think between the hours of 11 o'clock and 5 o'clock, to put in a plug for Dell and the MPO, you can come down to Main Street Mandan. It's a unique event that Bartlett and West folks actually brought to the MPO. They said, hey, we've seen this done, I think, in Kansas City or somewhere in Kansas, and this would be a good event for Mandan. So if you have kids, they'll each get a backpack and to put their goodies in.
Neat.
And like I said, you bring a bunch of trucks and cranes and heavy equipment, front-end loaders and things like that, so that kids can get an experience. And, you know, everybody loves their Tonka trucks.
Yeah.
And this time the kids will be able to actually touch and get in. And,
yeah. I mean, you see these things from a distance, but you rarely get an opportunity to get right up to those,
yep,
those vehicles.
So sometimes you might have an air horn in there that you can let loose on and make some of the residents happy or so wakes them up.
That's this Saturday.
That's this Saturday from 11 till 5, I believe.
And this is the second year?
This is the second year of Touch a Truck. And like I said, it's been really successful so far.
Yeah.
And it's free of charge. So there'll
even
be food vendors down there and things like that. But like I said, it's just to give kids an experience. And, maybe it'll enlighten them, or maybe they'll want to then find a career in operating one of these pieces of equipment.
Create awareness and fun and a free family event, which is a big deal. The other thing that I noticed on your agenda the other night was the appointment of an assistant city attorney. That's a pretty big step for Mandan.
Yeah, what we found is, Malcolm Brown has been a city attorney for many years. We have a contract with Crowley Fleck, and Malcolm is of counsel with Crowley Fleck. There are times when Malcolm is not available, whether he's on vacation or just out of the office when... if he's gone for a couple of weeks, and city staff usually need a contact and attorney advice. And so Amy Oster, who is also a partner with Crowley Fleck, is a Mandan resident, and we will be, using Amy's services as
well.
Well,
that'd be great, I would assume, for staff. And for Malcolm, so you'd have to call him on vacation, right?
Malcolm may be pretty happy, and like I said, I've met with Amy a couple times and found her to be very knowledgeable and very enthusiastic about doing this work. And the great thing is, we have a contract with Crowley Fleck, and the dollar amount doesn't change. So we're not paying any more to have the services of Amy. So that's a good thing.
You just have another go-to person.
Correct.
With some other areas of expertise, as I understand it, too.
Yep. She's very human relations and labor and things like that. So the times that we have consulted with Malcolm and he has then consulted with Amy have been personnel issues and things like that. But she also has some legal and some other contract work behind her too.
Well, as the city has been growing, these are yep, needs that you guys are finding unique.
Absolutely.
The other, thing that happened at the commission meeting was that final passage of rezoning and annexation of the Tesoro addition, or the administration.
Right. We're very happy that Tesoro is adding a new administrative building. And I think all the Tesoro employees will be pretty happy about that, too. But right just to the north of the sports complex, Tesoro will be building, I think, between a 30 and 33,000 two-story square foot building.
Okay.
And they hope to be in that, I think, in October, November, December of 2017. Realistically, they say probably January of 2018 we'll have everybody over, which is great for Mandan because there are also some remote offices that Tesoro has employees working in, whether it's Tesoro
consolidating
or Tesoro Logistics, and some of those employees will be coming back to the Mandan location.
That's fantastic, and they'll likely do a very nice job of
We've seen some architectural drawings of the building, and they took a look at what the Star Inn Sports Complex is looking like, and they're going to try and match up building materials so that, like I said, having Tesoro do a new admin building right across the street is a pretty big deal.
That is a beautiful presence you'll have in Mandan to be able to say that that is the administrative headquarters.
Right.
And it's fantastic.
To go along with that, the board also, we've had questions on traffic.
Yes.
And how we're going to deal with traffic in that area and at the intersection of Collins and Old Red Trail. And in order for the sports complex and in order for Tesoro to gain access to their property, because Old Red Trail through that section is a state highway, North Dakota Department of Transportation needs to approve that. So a traffic study was done, and so we will be widening, in essence, from where the Tesoro entrance is, 250 feet to the east of that entrance, all the way and including improvements to the intersection at Collins and Old Red Trail. So there will be three lanes going through there. That project, we just got the approval to go out for bids and approve the plans and specs on Tuesday night. So that will be out in the bid world on Friday. And hopefully, you know, we're planning on getting that done by the middle of August to end of August before complex officially opens up.
And that is the date. What is the date? The sports complex, same time,
end of August, first part of September. I think whatever
is an addition for Mandan.
Right. So like I said, weather has to cooperate, temperatures in order for some of the outdoor work to be done, whether it's the track that gets poured or things like that.
Yeah.
But there's, like I said, there's a lot of temperature and Mother Nature things that have to occur so that all that falls in line. But like I said, they're looking at September as being opening.
So you talk a little bit about the Old Red Trail expansion in that area of the sports complex and the new Tesoro building. Beyond that, to the north, are there plans for Old Red Trail then after that for expansion?
What, you know, we might refer to this as the mini project for Old Red Trail, and really there's a major reconstruction project going to occur, provided all the federal and state funding sources come together, in probably 2021, which will take, in essence, from we call it Gate 3, or where the concrete ends around the corner by the main entrance to Tesoro now, all the way through the intersection of Collins and Old Red Trail, and also then out to 27th Street with, you know, full three-lane, and on 1806 there will be some turning lanes improved there. So that'll be a major reconstruction, and like you said, we're looking at that to shovels in the ground in 2021.
And the study has already been done for that, that expansion?
We put it in our queue, and in North Dakota DOT's queue to get done. And so, like I said, provided all the federal and state funding sources remain there, that's the year that we're looking at. So engineering and things like that will probably
just
start in 2020.
Moves up the list as things get checked off.
Right.
That's fantastic. An article I saw in the Tribune today was about public art.
Yes.
Coming to downtown Mandan, which is fantastic. And they did refer to the art alley in Bismarck and how successful that's been. You know, what a great addition. And people are finding that a wonderful place for photo ops and just people wandering through and looking at the fantastic art that's in the alley. So now Mandan has said, we want to do something similar, but it's a little different, isn't it?
A little different. One of the chamber leadership groups has put this project forward, and they've had discussions with our local community beautifications committee and shared some ideas on, you know, the original conversation started out with doing an alley art project in Mandan and turned to, well, you know, we've got Dykeshorn Park, and we've got the band shell, and we've got the depot, and we've got the beanery where the Man in Progress organization is. You've got Fort Lincoln Foundation in the depot, and you've got band shell events going on there pretty much every night during the summer.
Wow.
And we had been looking at, you know, we've got a white cream-colored fence extended on the south side of Main Street, separating the BNSF property from the city property. We were looking at extending that fence along the back of Dykeshorn Park. And so the concept kind of evolved into, well, we've got this chamber leadership group looking for a project. They're talking about North Dakota Music Hall of Fame. Maybe we can incorporate some panels into that fence along the band shell. So I think that's where we're heading.
Yeah.
And like I said, our goal right now, I think the chamber leadership group presented that idea to the chamber folks yesterday. We got very positive reaction from what I heard. And now we'll start moving that project forward.
Isn't that how the Art Alley in Bismarck started? Was originally with a chamber leadership program, I believe.
I think so. And then when with Dakota West Arts Council as a big player in there. So I think this group has learned several things from the Art Alley project. And in this project, I think they've learned a lot too. And, you know, it's not just as easy as saying, hey, we want to put up some signs here.
Right.
They've been through our Architectural Review Commission. They've been through our Community Beautification Committee. And now as we start piecing those pieces of the fence together, then hopefully this project will move forward this summer.
It sounds like not only will it be, you know, a way to incorporate public art into downtown, but another buffer between the railroad tracks and the downtown area.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because we've got some people who actually love to sit and watch the trains. And then you put up a fence and they can't see the trains anymore. So we've got a balancing act to do here to say, all right, we probably need in this fence to open up some areas where people can still watch the trains, because that, you know, trains and the railroad have been a huge part of Mandan's history.
Yep.
And if we close that all off, it's not, you know, it might make some folks unhappy. And like I said,
you can't make everybody happy.
You can't make everybody happy.
You know that, don't you?
Absolutely. But we think, like I said, in looking for some public art projects in downtown Mandan, we think this will add quite a bit.
You just need to move the Railroad Museum down to Mandan.
No, that would be. There have been discussions about that in the past, is finding enough room. Because obviously when you have a railroad museum, you have big pieces of equipment.
Absolutely.
And where do those go? So, yeah, the Railroad Museum is a gem in town, too, that people need
Absolutely,
to go up and see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we talked a little bit about this big touch of truck this weekend. What else is coming up?
Well, after Touch a Truck, I think the Progress organization then gets really busy with Buggies and Blues coming up in the middle of June. And then we move into the Rodeo Days, 4th of July, and then you're into the Grill Fest and Oktoberfest. And I think I'm missing one in there. Well, it might be a worse fest or something
like that. Mandan has been so successful in incorporating these special events into their community, and it's just kind of the go-to place in the summer for all these events.
It's interesting. In addition, we've got Slide the City coming too, so can't forget that.
Yeah.
But it's that in the stock car races and road races on the 4th of July. I think we just completed our second community survey, and we're analyzing those results. And we always try and say, what are we doing well, and how can we do more of that? And events that the Mandan Progress organization works on are one of the highest rated things that happen. It's a great place to go and have events in Mandan because you can, you know, we can close down Main Street and we can do some other things that some other communities would not be able to do.
Sure.
We're able to do it. People accept it. And sponsorships are just incredible. People come out, and I know Del Wetch goes out and, you know, he's got the hardest job in the world. He's a full-time fundraiser. And he goes out and people are, how can I help? How can I help? And what can I do to help?
So
it's incredible the amount of support that the community gets from our businesses, both Bismarck and Mandan. And I know the MPO is very appreciative, and so are city leaders.
Well, you had, and you've had this group develop over the last few years. I don't recall their name, but they're responsible for some of the marketing that's been going on. I know Ellen Huber works hand in hand with them. The Made in Mandan campaign has been really visible and very successful, I think.
There's a committee formed from, you know, the chamber helped us put together the Mandan Tomorrow plan. I think that's about 7 or almost 8 years old now. And one of the committees that was that, what came out of that was the Leadership, Pride, and Image Committee. And Ellen and a very solid group of folks have stayed with that committee from the inception of it. And we've gotten new members to come in, and some have dropped off and some are new. But the energy in that committee, you know, how do you promote Mandan? That's, you know, if folks see the wayfinding signs around town, people go, well, what's a wayfinding sign? And you look and say, well, if you go to a baseball field or you're going to Memorial Ballpark or you're going to the Speedway or something like that, those are the signs that folks see around town now that are directing you to those activities and to those pieces of property that some people weren't even aware that we had.
I love those signs.
Yeah.
I thought that they did a really nice job of kind of capturing the feel of Mandan, but being very functional.
Yep.
I like them.
This has been a project where we have probably learned more about what colors a sign can be, how large they can be, how you need breakaway. You can't just have a pole in the ground because it's got to be breakaway if it's in the DOT right-of-way, which we had great cooperation from Federal Highway and Department of Transportation. And if you're on a 25-mile-an-hour street, then your letters have to be such a size, and if you're on a 35-mile-an-hour street, they have to be such a size. So, like I said, some people go, well, why weren't they this and why weren't they that?
Yeah.
And there's a whole
details.
I'll call it an encyclopedia of instructions that has to be met.
It's never that
for
easy.
Your wayfinding sign. So we did the best we could, and we think you know, the colors that were chosen and the items that were put on there have to be kind of generic. You can't advertise something that is outside of the city. We, you know, a lot of people said, well, why didn't you put Fort Lincoln State Park on there? Well, because it's not within the city limits, and we couldn't put that on one of the signs. So, like I said, the encyclopedia is pretty restrictive, but we're finding that we're getting a lot of compliments from folks on how to find things and how to get around that
they
didn't know were there.
And have you been working on banners for Memorial Highway? Is that part of the process, too?
Part of our 4th of July, we do have our our public works crew does a great job, you know, between putting up Christmas lights, Christmas banners, 4th of July banners and things like that. So they'll be out in the probably latter part of June putting out 4th of July banners on the streetlights on Memorial Highway in downtown Mandan.
Well, let's talk about Memorial Highway for just a second. I know that's been on your agenda before.
Yep.
It's in need of some work, and it's a big project. Where is it sitting right now?
Memorial Highway is a huge project, and you know, we went through a study probably 5 years ago, on 5 or 6 years ago. We've got 3 miles of road. It's right now state highway. There are open ditches and things like that. If you know, the idea would be convert that to more of an urban section where you have curb and gutter, and you're rebuilding the road. Redo the streetlights and things like that. And I think the estimate was $30+ million 4 or 5 years ago.
Did it also incorporate pedestrian
yep, I think
area and bike paths?
When you do a federal aid project, you have to have those things incorporated. Okay. So there's not a can you or can't you. It's, and we get a lot of questions. Why would you put a walking path along Memorial Highway? Well, you have to if you're going to accept the state money. And the trick, the thing we have with it is that once that highway would be redone, or once the strip would be redone, then the city assumes responsibility I for see. The upkeep and maintenance and the mm-hmm. snow removal and the sanding and the all that stuff, which right now the state of North Dakota does. So if we
wow,
do that,
a
that's
switch.
A high-speed road. We buy different vehicles to plow it and takes more time, costs more money. So we kind of been pushing it off. Not that we don't think it needs to be redone, but it's also a matter of when are those federal monies available to do it, and so that we can capture as much money as we can to redo that road. I'm sure we're passed out 2021, 2025, maybe who knows
wow.
right now, just because of the, you know, there's not a lot of money in the federal transportation bill.
That and the fact that this has a real impact on the neighboring businesses. So
yep.
whatever you do, I mean, it has to be well thought out.
Yeah, and sometimes people look and go, well, geez, if you get 90% money to rebuild the road, they sometimes forget, well, there's water and sewer
yeah.
and sometimes storm sewer that are all local costs.
Sure.
Those are not part of the main 90% money on a project. So
no.
sometimes the street cost is a lot less than the water and sewer than the other underground work. So that we've keeps being put on the list and keeps getting kind of moved down the road as other projects come up and other priorities come up.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our eye on that one.
Yep.
We won't be able to miss it. It'll be a big one once it starts.
Well, no, that'll be kind of crazy.
Thanks for coming in, Jim.
Thank you for having us, and we appreciate the opportunity.
Look forward to your next visit. And if you'd like more information on any of the topics that we talked about today, you can visit the city's website at thecityofmandan.com or call them at 701-667-3215. And if in future programs you'd like us to address any specific topic in city government, you can get a hold of us, write to us at info@freetv.org. This program will air on Government Access Channels 2 and 602 HD, and also on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. The program will also be available as a podcast at kdacfm.org and as a viewing link at freetv.org. Until next time, thank you for watching.